This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is just coming up to 5:08, and it's time now for Pope Pope Parliament with Sharmila and Lynn, where we're bringing you the updates from the Dewan Rakyat.
Today's session kicked off with Dungun MP Tuan Haji Wan Hassan asking about the drastic measures taken in dealing with the ongoing flood crisis in the East Coast. So Minister in the Prime Minister's Department for Special Functions, Datuk Dr. Abdul Latif Ahmad, explained that the government had worked to deliver accurate and early instructions to facilitate evacuations.
Antara tindakan-tindakan yang drastik yang diambil oleh kerajaan adalah menyampaikan maklumat, data serta arahan yang tepat dan awal. Antara tindakan yang dibuat oleh NADMA melalui Pusat Kawalan Bencana Negara NDCC telah mengeluarkan notis kesiapsiagaan kepada jawatankuasa pengurusan bencana negeri dan juga daerah dan menerima respon yang amat positif daripada agensi-agensi sejak 23 hari bulan 2. Semua kita tahu bahawa banjir pemindahan peaknya, puncaknya antara 26 hingga 28. Tapi oleh kerana kita bekerjasama dengan MED dan maklumat-maklumat awal ini kita sampaikan kepada negeri dan juga daerah, maka kesiapsiagaan di peringkat negeri dan daerah di dua-dua negeri Kelantan dan Terengganu ini dapat dijalankan dengan suasana yang amat positif. Dan mulai 26 hari bulan 2, mesyuarat PKOB, Pusat Kawalan Operasi Bencana, pusat telah diadakan setiap hari. Dan ekoran daripada itu, hari ini Tan Sri KSN akan mengadakan, mempengerusikan mesyuarat Task Force Pengurusan Banjir Monsun Laut yang kita jangkakan ini fasa ke-6, mungkin fasa terakhir bagi menangani isu-isu yang berkaitan. Kurang daripada itu, 10,000 frontliners dapat digemling bagi membuat operasi penyelamat ke tempat-tempat yang telah ditetapkan.
That was Minister in the Prime Minister's Department for Special Functions, Datuk Dr. Abdul Latif Ahmad, who also said that 10,000 frontliners will be mobilised for rescue operations in affected areas. What did you make of this response to the floods? And what else would you like to see being done? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Next up, Bukit Bendera MP Wong Hon Wai wanted to know the ministry's stance when it came to regulating carbon trading activities. So we're talking about things like carbon trading agreements between the Sabah state government and foreign companies.
So earlier this year, Sabah was criticised by environmentalists for signing the Nature Conservation Agreement, or the NCA, which is a carbon credit deal that would see more than 2 million hectares of Sabah's forests being put up for a pilot project.
So I think we need to give some context here, right? Because I don't know about you, Sharmila, but I don't think in hectares all that often. But 2 million hectares actually equals more than half of Sabah's forests. And this deal was criticised at the time for its lack of transparency and for the involvement of a Singapore based private company.
And then Environment and Water Minister Datuk Sri Tuan Ibrahim Tuan Man's response was that the Sabah state government hadn't informed his ministry about the NCA, so the ministry is unable to provide a detailed overview of the contents within that agreement.
Untuk maklumat Yang Berhormat, Kerajaan Persekutuan tidak dimaklumkan dan tidak dirojok dan tidak dilibatkan oleh Kerajaan Negeri Sabah dalam proses rundingan bagi perjanjian NCA tersebut. Sehubungan itu, KASA tidak dapat memberikan penjelasan terperinci mengenai kandungan perjanjian. Maklumat yang diterima oleh kementerian hanyalah melalui kenyataan media dan kenyataan bertulis daripada wakil Kerajaan Negeri Sabah yang dilaporkan dalam media masa. Sekiranya perjanjian NCA tersebut mempunyai aspek transaksi kredit karbon antarabangsa, maka ianya akan memberikan impak secara langsung kepada pencapaian NDC dan inspirasi pelepasan GSG Sipar Bersih Negara. Kerja alam sekitar dan air juga sentiasa mengalu-alukan Kerajaan Negeri Sabah untuk merojok dan melibatkan Kerajaan Persekutuan dan pengantaran yang lain dalam perbincangan berkaitan perjanjian NCA dan mekanisme pasaran karbon pada masa akan datang.
That was Environment and Water Minister Datuk Sri Tuan Ibrahim Tuan Man on the carbon trading agreements between Sabah and foreign companies, saying, you know, the ministry welcomes the Sabah government to refer to and involve the federal government in discussions involving the NCA and carbon market mechanisms.
Moving on, Pasir Salah MP Datuk Sri Tajuddin Abdul Rahman wanted the Prime Minister to explain why there were still weaknesses in the government's implementation as well as their delivery systems.
So the Prime Minister was there. And he responded. So Dato' Sri Ismail Sabri Yaakob basically said that the government is focused on giving a new image to civil servants and the landscape that the public sector operates in.
Bagi mengatasi kelemahan yang timbul, pertama sekali kerajaan akan memberikan fokus dalam memberi wajah baru kepada penjawat awam dan juga lanskap baru dalam organisasi awam. Pembaharuan ini bertujuan untuk menjadikan sistem penyampaian kerajaan lebih bersifat people-centric dan memudah cara urusan rakyat serta tidak lagi dibebani dengan karenah birokrasi. Dalam hubungan ini, saya akan memastikan semua organisasi awam akan lebih efisien dan efektif dengan mempunyai saiz, struktur dan fungsi yang bersesuaian serta tiada pertindihan fungsi. Kita akan meneliti, mengkaji fungsi sedia ada dan melakukan rekayasa business process re-engineering bagi memastikan ia sentiasa relevan dan memenuhi keperluan semasa serta mendatang. Fungsi yang tidak lagi relevan perlu dijumutkan bagi membolehkan kita melaksanakan fungsi yang terkini dengan lebih berkesan.
That was Prime Minister Datuk Sri Ismail Sabri Yaakob talking about how these reforms are to basically ensure the government's delivery system was more quote-unquote people-centric and to avoid unnecessary bureaucracy. He also said that the government would review the existing functions to make sure that they were still relevant.
You know, while we're talking about this, we'd love to hear from you. What do you make of the public sector and I suppose the services that they deliver, right? What are some of the main changes that you would like to see? I mean, since they are at this moment in time, reviewing and taking stock. Now might be as good a time as any to share your thoughts. You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. So moving on, there was a discussion about Malaysia's position in the Transparency International 2021 Corruption Perceptions Index, or CPI. So this was something that was started off or a question posed by opposition leader Datuk Sri Anwar Ibrahim.
Now, perceived corruption in Malaysia has been reported to be declining as the country scored 48 points in that annual CPI. And this is the first time that our score has actually dropped below 50 since 2012.
And Anwar basically said this is due to a lack of political will to address major corruption allegations like the Pandora Papers and 1MDB. He also wanted to know why there was no effort to urge SPRM to take action on the individuals involved.
Persepsi rasuah ini meningkat kerana tidak ada gambaran, tidak ada tekad politik menangani masalah-masalah besar. Umpamanya, saya bangkitkan Pandora Papers. Keduanya, soal MDB yang belum terungkai. Baru-baru ini keluar lagi masalah. Jadi kalau dan orang-orang yang terlibat itu bergentayangan ke sana ke sini seolah-olah tidak ada permasalahan. Dan persepsi ini akan merosakkan imej negara kalau tidak ada kesediaan bagi pihak pimpinan politik. Saya tahu SPRM mempunyai peranan besar dalam hal ini. Tetapi tekad politik juga perlu. Kita tak boleh katakan persepsi ini sebagai persepsi biasa kerana orang juga melihat faktanya bahawa ada keterangan-keterangan baru yang menggemparkan, yang melibatkan institusi penting negara termasuk Bank Negara Malaysia. Dan kita nampak ada keengganan bertindak. Sama ada mantan-mantan Perdana Menteri juga terlibat. Bukan satu, dua, tiga yang dibangkitkan dalam laporan-laporan seperti Pandora Papers. Mengapa tidak ada sikap kesungguhan pimpinan khususnya Perdana Menteri untuk menyatakan bahawa SPRM harus bertindak tanpa ragu terhadap siapa saja? Itu soalan saya.
That was opposition leader Datuk Sri Anwar Ibrahim. Just to correct myself earlier, what I meant to say is that we've dropped on the corruption index and therefore, yes, so we're actually lower than we really want to be. In response to Datuk Sri Anwar Ibrahim, Prime Minister Datuk Sri Ismail Sabri Yaakob said that our score was determined by multiple other factors, including how international human rights were in contrast to the values of our country. He also added that no corrupt politician is spared from the criminal justice justice system and that the government does not practice selective prosecution. Here he is.
Dari segi tindakan yang dilaksanakan apabila berkaitan dengan isu rasuah dan sebagainya, saya percaya Yang Berhormat tahu banyak kes sedang berjalan di mahkamah melibatkan sesiapa saja, tak kira daripada pihak pembangkang maupun daripada pihak kerajaan. Kita lihat hari ini kes masih sedang, banyak kes masih lagi berjalan di mahkamah. Itu menunjukkan bahawa kerajaan serius dari segi mengambil tindakan terhadap sesiapa saja yang mengamalkan rasuah. Begitu juga dengan perkara yang dibangkitkan oleh Yang Berhormat tadi. Di dalam isu rasuah, pihak kerajaan tidak melindungi sesiapa. Sesiapa saja bertanggungjawab akan dihadapkan ke mahkamah dan mahkamahlah yang akan menentukan sama ada orang itu bersalah atau tidak. Jadi tidak boleh menganggap bahawa pihak kerajaan hari ini melindungi individu-individu tertentu dan mengambil tindakan terhadap orang tertentu hanya untuk memuaskan hati setengah-tengah pihak. Kita tidak tahu dulu sama ada dulu ada selective prosecution atau tidak. Tapi hari ini tidak ada pendakwaan terpilih kepada sesiapa saja. Itu janji kerajaan. Terima kasih.
That was Prime Minister Datuk Sri Ismail Sabri Yaakob weighing in on our our level of corruption, really. Continuing on from there, a discussion about RFID.
Yes. So this was raised by Sabak Bernam MP Datuk Fasya Muhammad Fakih, who asked about the implementation of toll payment with RFID at all closed tolls on the North-South Expressway and East Coast Highway.
So Senior Minister of Works, Datuk Sri Fadilah Yusof, explained that RFID toll collection has been implemented on 28 highways, with the East Coast Highway Phase 1 and Phase 2 expected to follow suit from the end of June. He also said that they had studied the barrier-free toll system, like the ones used in Singapore, but then decided against it because of cost constraints, as well as the fact that implementation that would burden the country.
Oh, interesting. So, there has long been this call, right, whenever we talk about RFID, for us to just mimic Singapore. So now we know that it's been considered and we're not going ahead with that. So the minister added that the issue of the tag not being able to read at toll booths and causing congestion will be solved by placing officials there to help smoothen the process.
Untuk langkah sementara yang dilaksanakan, PLUS telah meletakkan pegawai supaya memastikan kalau siapa saja menghadapi masalah bila melalui akan diselesaikan pada waktu itu juga. Setiap pegawai memang ditugaskan di sana. Kedua, iaitu untuk memastikan sebab ini dikatakan projek rintis di mana peletakan reader itu dan juga tag itu sendiri menjadi cabaran sebab pelbagai jenis kenderaan dan sebagainya. Ini juga sudah dikenalpasti dan langkah penambahbaikan sedang dan diteruskan oleh pihak PLUS dan Touch and Go itu sendiri. Sebab itu yang saya katakan tadi, ini bila projek rintis sudah pasti kita dapat mengenal pasti banyak isu yang telah dibangkitkan dan isu ini sebenarnya sudah dapat dikurangkan. Sebab itu perjalanan semakin lancar sekarang ini dan peningkatan dari segi penggunaan RFID daripada dulu 11% sekarang ini 18% menunjukkan keyakinan pada sistem ini. Walaupun dengan kelemahan, kelemahan ini akan diperbaiki oleh pihak PLUS dan juga Touch and Go.
That was Senior Minister of Works, Datuk Sri Fadilah Yusof.
Just briefly, the ministers did continue discussions on the flood crisis during the afternoon session. Some mini highlights. Pasir Mas MP Tuan Ahmad Fadli Shari brought up the need for KWSP to allow for a withdrawal, especially after the flood disaster on top of the pandemic. This was something that was echoed then by Bagan MP Lim Guan Eng. It's not actually the first time that this is brought up. And it is also a rare occasion of bipartisanship. I mean, not necessarily in this exact moment. I'm just saying in general, we are hearing the call for this coming from both sides of the aisle. So it will be interesting to see how this plays out in the sitting.
Yes, especially because there is that call, but not exactly the most lauded of moves by many parties, right? So yeah, I am interested to see how that turns out. And that's all for today's Parliament, day one, as it were. We would like to hear from you on these topics. plenty of things really on the table. So a real buffet of things to comment on. We talked about the East Coast floods and the government's response to it. We also discussed our ranking on the Corruption Perceptions Index and what you'd like to see improved when it comes to our government services. What has your experience been? What can be done better? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.